Despite the Major's best efforts, the group is starting to divide into factions. It's natural, some of the people say. We're festering inside this center. If we had a goal, maybe everyone would accept a strong leader more easily. Burroughs isn't going to relinquish command without a struggle. The people who engineered the Lydecker Foundation chose well in him, though. He'll kill whoever he has to in order to keep discipline. I don't think the others see that in him yet. Especially the egghead civilians the project was blessed with.
Mention of the Lydecker Foundation gave Mildred pause. It sounded a lot like the totality concept. At the same time that it offered hope, the presence of the program here also scared Mildred. Those programs had a habit of being as destructive as anything that had blown the world apart. The book offered perhaps another couple dozen entries, the last one dated April 19th, 2005. Mildred stuffed the journal in the rucksack she'd commandeered, along with some self-heats and ring pulls. Whatever secrets and sorrows it held could wait until a better time to go through it. Turning, she almost walked into Jack.
Shh. We're not alone anymore.
Jack's torch was out, put away. She nodded to let him know that she understood, then slipped the Czech pistol from its leather. There was a sound above her, from somewhere along the catwalk that ringed the computer center. Mildred snuffed her torch and leapt to one side. A bullet split the air, where her skull had been a moment earlier. Writhing in the giant spider's grasp, Ryan swung the pongo with all his strength. The keen 18-inch blade sheared through the creature's leg. Blood sprayed over Ryan as the arachnid hunkered down in momentary shock and pain. The spider seemed to be having difficulty controlling its protective coloring ability. It phased in and out of easy view. The natural colors appeared to be a very dark brown that looked black against the sand. The remaining legs dug deeply for purchase, then the body swung so that the creature could track Ryan with its beady black gaze. Some of the feeling was returning to Ryan's left arm, stinging pain bringing with it a stiff mobility. He managed to reach down for the stire. The spider swept another leg at him. Ryan leapt over the leg, bringing the stire up. He shoved a muzzle into the spider's face, penetrating one of the jet-black eye bubbles. The heavy 7.62mm round rocketed through the spider's head, spewing a cloud of green ichor out behind it. Ryan was relentless as the spider tried to make its escape. He followed the creature, having to step high and stretch to keep the stire in place. The spider swayed drunkenly, trying to use the amputated limb as it retreated. A broken line of muties formed behind it, staring up in anger.
Incoming!
At JB's warning, Ryan wheeled and raced toward him. The remaining muties were in motion behind Ryan, rushing with renewed fury. JB stood up from behind cover. A Law rocket launcher settled comfortably over one narrow shoulder. His face was grim and sand-encrusted under the fedora as he took aim. As he ran, Ryan tightened his grip on the ponga and the stire. There was no way he was going to get entirely clear of the blast area, if the Law even worked. They'd found it less than an hour ago, and JB hadn't had time to clean it. The concussion flattened Ryan in mid-step. He pushed himself back up again at once. A few more staggering steps, and he dropped into position beside JB. The warhead hadn't been as destructive as it might have been decades earlier. A smoky, burning husk of the giant spider remained. All seven legs curled inward in some kind of warped fetal position.
Never chilled a god before.
Yeah. Well, you could have taken this one out a lot damn sooner.
Hard to see the thing at first. But once you scored that hit and it started to bleed, I couldn't miss.
Ryan's heart sank as at least 20 muties burst over a dune on the opposite side of the smoking arachnid carcass. JB dumped the rocket launcher tube and whipped out the Uzi.
You want to give me some more shit or run?
Run!
Ryan gathered his weapons and led the sprint to the opening to the installation. They took a standing position at the side of the entryway. Ryan's first bullet took a muti in the throat, nearly decapitating him. JB spilled two more of the muties to the ground in lifeless heaps.
We withdraw. They're going to follow us inside. Could be they know this place better than we do.
Holding up here is not going to be an option. There's probably waste inside this place that we don't know about.
I can stay here. Buy you some time to get the others back up here.
Fuck that. We stand together same as always. You get anything else in that little pouch of nasty surprises you managed to salvage from this place?
A couple of grands. Might give them some pause. Here.
Thanks. Here they come. On my count. One, two...
Suddenly, an M1 Abrams main battle tank topped the edge of a dune less than 100 yards away. An M109A2 155mm self-propelled howitzer pulled into a flanking position on the left, followed immediately by two sealed fast attack vehicles.
What the hell?
50 caliber bullets chewed into the ranks of the muties without warning. They spun and twisted awkwardly as plate-sized gobbets of diseased flesh exploded from their bodies and dropped onto the dry sand, sending up little bursts of alkaline white dust.
Dark night!
Ryan flattened against the side of the opening, but didn't release the grin. The withering machine gun fire left nothing alive in the open areas. The M1 tank rolled down to the base of the dune below the entranceway. The turret swiveled, bringing the main gun to bear on the opening. The other three vehicles joined it.
You get the feeling we've stepped from the frying pan right into the fire?
Yeah. How much Plasex do you have in that pack?
What do you have in mind?
Shutting this door if we have to.
We could have a problem getting out of here later.
Maybe. But if we try to cross that desert and these people don't want us to, we're gonna catch the last train west anyway. If I got a choice, I'd rather pick the time when I show up at the station.
Right.
Attention! This is Major Drake Burrows of the United States Army. Throw down your weapons and come away from the doorway.
Stoop thinks he's still part of the U.S. military.
Give yourselves up and you won't be harmed.
I'm gonna buy us some time.
Before GB could talk him out of it, Ryan stepped into the glare of the sun.
I'd rather talk first!
You're in no position to negotiate.
Ryan grinned, knowing his wolf smile would be picked up by others among the unit who were using binoculars. A show of confidence didn't hurt. Especially when there wasn't anything to be confident about.
If I wasn't, you wouldn't have opened the door on this conversation.
Ryan watched as a man pulled himself through the hatch of the Abrams war wag and waved another out of the passenger seat of one of the fast attack vehicles. He took the man's seat. The buggy moved forward on its fat tires, spinning out tails of sand behind it. As it neared, Ryan saw the 12.7mm machine gun mounted on top of it. The wag stopped 15 yards away, its nose pointed in silent challenge at Ryan, like a feral animal. The machine gunner's attention never wavered. The man in the passenger seat got out. He was nearly 6.5 feet tall, packaged tight and neat, broad at the shoulder. His uniform was black, contrasting sharply with the platinum white of his short-cropped hair. His face was seamed, tanned, and leathery. The eyes and crow's feet covered by dark aviator sunglasses. Ryan guessed his age at 40, perhaps a few years older. He carried a 45 caliber Colt government model in a counter-terrorist drop holster on his right thigh, and another in shoulder leather was attached to his combat webbing. Kevlar body armor was apparent under the webbing. An American flag was plastered against his upper left shoulder, but its looseness suggested that it was removable. Major Drake Burrows stopped 10 feet away and pinned Ryan with his gaze.
Sergeant!
The machine gunner responded.
Sir!
I should know this man.
Sir, you do! Ryan Carter, he's in our files.
One-eyed, general description, I thought so. We didn't have a picture of this man before.
No, sir! Already been remedied.
You used to ride with the traitor, son of a baron along the east coast or something, if I remember correctly.
You're the man with all the answers. I got one question for you, though. You given any thought to how you're going to get back to that wag before me or one of mine put a bullet through your head?
Mildred ran, trying to follow Jack in the darkness.
Oh!
Her hip bumped painfully against a workstation, sending a computer crashing to the floor. White-hot sparks of electricity peppered the darkness. Bullets cut through her former position. Some of them were purple tracers, flashing by in a blur. A hand plucked at Mildred's sleeve in the dark. She whirled, bringing up the .38.
Whoa, it's me. We gotta find Adele. Follow me.
I can't see a thing.
Follow the air current, Dan.
Jack kept pulling at her, not hesitating in the slightest.
Where are they, damn it?
I'm tracking them. Goddamn thermal imager's all fucked up from those electrical sparks.
Mildred's mind was screaming at her, demanding to know who the people were who were trying to kill them and where they'd come from. She was certain they hadn't entered through the door she and Jack had used. She kept the questions to herself, following Jack's lead as best she could. Now that her senses were searching for it, she could feel the breeze moving through the room.
Down!
Jack tugged Mildred into a hunkered down position beside an overturned computer.